Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Local artists are some of the people most affected by the coronavirus pandemic. With galleries and performance venues closed, there's not a lot of places where art can be shared. But as with all unusual circumstances, they can count on their creativity to get by. To talk about the financial and creative hurdles local artists have had to overcome, Lake Effect's Julian Haida recently spoke with David Lee, the chief executive officer of Imagine MKE, and Deanna Tillish, the president and CEO of UPAF, the United Performing Arts Fund of Milwaukee.
David Lee and Deanna Tillish, thanks so much for joining us on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here.
So David, let's start with you. I'm curious, as the CEO of Imagine MKE, how have you observed artists, especially independent artists, being affected by the COVID-19 outbreak?
When COVID-19 broke and really started really spreading here in Wisconsin, we quickly stood up the MKE Artist Relief Fund to provide small dollar grants to our city's incredible artists and creatives who I think we all recognize we're going to be really affected by not only the cancellation of live events, but also the closure of bars and venues where they typically work as performers, but also work as service industry folks. And so that, I think, was the initial impulse, right? That like our city's artists and creatives would be hit by this sort of perfect storm of not being able to practice their craft and perform, but also potentially be hit by lost income. And so this experience is really, for us, has really introduced us to, I think, the vast excellence of our city's artists and creatives that I think we always knew, but until you actually read, 500 applications from artists and creatives from every corner of our great county about their practice, where they work, where they perform, and the loss of income due to the virus and due to no fault of their own. I think it really paints a picture of the very rich creative tapestry that we have in our city, but also that our city's artists and creatives are also the people who make our city and county work. They are the ones teaching our kids dance and music and acting. They're the ones taking care of our seniors, doing memory programs with them. They are the ones serving us at bars and restaurants. They're the ones driving Uber and Lyft. These are folks who actually make our city not only inspiring and creative, but also just simply function.
Yeah, that holistic approach is very interesting. So what you're saying is that not only are artists affected because they can't perform in the way they used to, but as is the trajectory for an American artist, many of them are working, like you said, as Uber drivers or waiters, and it's been a double hit. So you're taking that into account with the ways in which you're trying to support artists, correct?
Yeah, so we are the MKE Artist Relief Fund really was like this small dollar grant that's aim was to help artists bridge an incredibly uncertain time, right? Really that time between when things started shutting down and before government programs really came online, as it relates to whether it's unemployment or expanded food share programs or whatever the federal response is, which, I think what's been really lovely or what's been encouraging has been the quick speed at which the federal government has stood up programs to reach independent contractors, which is typically what our artists are, right? I mean, they've historically never been able to qualify for unemployment. And because of the CARES Act, unemployment has been extended to 1099 employees, which, in this time when, the bills keep on coming due, right? It's really important for artists and creatives to be able to have those sorts of resources to ensure that they don't fall behind in this time when they can't perform or can't work.
Yeah, in normal times, artists need a lot of flexibility to be able to do their art, and that flexibility comes with a lot of vulnerability in this time. Deanna, I wanted to ask you about some of the artistic institutions that we all take for granted here in Milwaukee. What are some of the economic impacts that arts groups have faced in the last couple months?
Well, certainly the pandemic has had a significant impact on the 14 groups that we fund. For right now, as the groups are closing out this season, they are projecting an $8.3 million loss in revenue. And that's pretty frightening for them. These are groups that, yes, they do have a defensive interval, but many times it is just a few months to be able to sustain themselves. You're looking at Skylight Music Theater, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, the Milwaukee Ballet, First Stage Theater, the Milwaukee Rep. These are organizations that are truly staples in our community that add to the vibrancy of southeastern Wisconsin. And right now, they're not working. The stage is dark. And that has a huge impact in terms of employees. Over 500 were either furloughed, laid off, or they had their salaries reduced. But then you look at it from a consumer perspective. They had to cancel totally 509 performances. That impacted over 200,000 patrons who weren't able to go to see a performance. And then you have to look at it from a community perspective, community-wide. Over 65,000 children did not receive in-person arts education programming because of the shutdown. And 80% of those kids are at or below the poverty level. So we know how important arts education is to children and an investment in all of our futures. And right now they're not having that exposure. The other programs that UPATH funds are community outreach based. And that is going into neighborhoods that are underserved, that do not have easy access to the arts. Well, because of the pandemic, 30,000 individuals and families are not receiving neighborhood programming or access to the performing arts. So there's a domino effect here. It's exponential. It is the artists. It is the groups. It is the patrons. It is the children. It is people in neighborhoods who aren't able to come together to experience the arts. And the arts are engaging. They bring us together. They lift our spirits. They nurture our souls. And right now, we aren't getting live performances. But fortunately, there is this thing called technology, and artists are very innovative, and they have acquired the ability to pivot from that live performance that is in a theater to be able to provide live performances virtually.
What's one of the more impressive uses of technology that you've seen, or the most expressive, that maybe could only come out of a coronavirus moment?
One of the more interesting uses of technology that we've seen is we hosted a virtual gallery night earlier in April. And that was really an opportunity to keep the tradition of Milwaukee Gallery Night going, but in a virtual space, right? And so I think about 40 artists showed in a virtual gallery, and people could go into this virtual gallery, look through an artist's portfolio of pieces, buy a piece of art, and that print, if it is for sale for print, would be delivered to your house in a week. And if it were an original, you'd have to figure out how to like coordinate delivery. And you know, what was really cool about that was that you could actually interact with people in that gallery over the internet, which was really, really exciting. And I think that was, I think, sort of forced our hand in accelerating some partnerships that we'd been developing with some VR providers. I think on the artistic practice side, I think what's been really interesting to me is I've had the opportunity again to read hundreds and hundreds of applications from individual artists of all disciplines, and to get to know them a little bit through their proof of practice, through this relief fund. And I've been able to see a lot of the work that's already being produced as it relates to COVID-19. And a lot of it is really, really stunning. So I've seen a lot of like graphic artists and visual artists begin to sort of grapple with what the world of physical distancing looks like. Some of the pieces are incredibly stunning. And then just to follow up on Deanna's point about how innovative and how resilient our city's creatives and artists are, there have been so many artists that have sort of utilized this great pause to offer help and mutual aid to their other, to their compatriots, right? To their brothers and sisters in arms. There's one artist that I can think of right now who's using her photography and film skills to shoot videos for and reels for other artists so that they can maybe get their online sales on or their branding put in order. We've had so many artists generate revenue from their own online sales to the relief fund to help other artists. And so that's just been really, really incredibly inspiring.
Yeah, it sounds like it. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM 89.7, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Julian Haida. I'm speaking with David Lee. He's the CEO of Imagine MKE. And Deanna Tillish, she is the president and CEO of UPAF, the United Performing Arts Fund of Milwaukee. We're talking a little bit about how local artists have fared under the coronavirus pandemic. Deanna, I want to ask you a little bit about the ways in which funding for the arts is perceived. I know there was a great debate on the national level with regards to what degree stimulus funding should be spent on arts. What do you tell critics who say that money that is allocated to preserving the arts, supporting artists, would be better spent elsewhere in times like this and in other times? We don't really have a robust arts funding program in this country, and people depend on organizations such as yours, and when the needs are so great medically and otherwise, how do you reply to that?
So when we work with about 185 companies, we go in to do workplace giving campaigns. And when I go and I speak, I typically start by asking questions, and I'll say, well, you know, how many of you have played a musical instrument? How many of you danced at your wedding? How many of you like to sing, be it in the shower or with your church choir? You have to really put it on a personal level so people truly understand that we are all touched by the arts in some capacity. And I think that this time where we are sheltered, I think people will recognize what they want to do is they want to go out and they want to be entertained. They want to cry. They want to laugh. They want to emote through the experience of the arts. And so hopefully there'll be a greater appreciation. But we do get asked those questions. We'll say, I mean, even during this time, we're in the midst of our campaign. We want to raise $12 million. We do not take public funding because there is such a little amount of it in this state. We rank 50th. And so we let the marketplace open up their wallets and give us dollars. Interestingly enough, the individuals have been incredibly responsive to our request for relief that can be provided to our member groups and to our artists. They want to do something. And so it's been fascinating to see how many of our donors have actually been increasing their gifts. Some of our major companies have been doing the exact same thing. And I think part of it is they want to ensure the sustainability of these assets, but they also want to ensure that everyone has exposure to the arts, and particularly when we're going to really need them the most. We actually, this year for our campaign, have a special fund called Casey's Fund, and that is to raise dollars exclusively for accessibility, be it for individuals who are disabled, who have an illness, who have lack of resources. And it's actually named after my daughter, who has profound disabilities, but yet experiences tremendous joy from the arts. She serves as an example, and everyone should have the opportunity to enjoy that. So when you make it, when you take it down to that personal level, then people are much more responsive. But at the same time, there are limited resources. There's, you know, the discretionary income only goes so far. And so it's really incumbent upon organizations like UPAF, like Imagine MKE, which I'm very proud to be a part of, to get the message out there of why the arts, be it arts, culture, visual, performing, what have you, are essential to the economic vitality of this community, and they also are critical to humanity. The more we have opportunities like this to spread the message, the more that message is going to resonate.
If I may just jump in on that point, I think I want to underscore Deanna's point about how Wisconsin is 50th in the nation in arts funding, public funding for the arts. And that is, you know, we believe at Imagine MKE a problem because, you know, insofar as the value not only for the inspiration and joy and sense-making of our state, that's one thing, right? But the actual sector of the arts and culture sector in our state is together creates about $9.5 billion worth of economic impact. It has more jobs than beer. And that's pretty big, right? And just to drill down to Milwaukee County, our arts and culture groups in Milwaukee County generate $250 million worth of expenditures in the last tax year. That's $225 million of expenditures. And like, this is real money. And as a driver of quality of life, as a driver of talent attraction, as a driver of what makes our region special, it's the groups that UPAF represents. It's the museum by the lake. It's the Milwaukee Public Museum. It's all of these places that we think of as cultural and artistic institutions. And also, by the way, the incredible smaller community arts groups, neighborhood groups, and smaller arts organizations throughout our city. I mean, they make this incredible like tapestry of arts and culture that we, I think, it's almost like air to us, right? And I think in that way, we often forget about how important it is until it's a moment like this, right? When we don't have access. And I think having a really frank conversation about what this arts and culture community means to us, means to our city, and means to the economic well-being and the future competitiveness of our state and region after COVID-19, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And thinking of the past and other parts of the world where, you know, perhaps life was exceptionally more difficult than it is now, there was still fantastic art being made in the most difficult of circumstances. And to see that keeps people moving forward and giving them hope is certainly, it speaks to that. So thanks so much for sharing your insights, David Lee and Deanna Tillish.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
That was David Lee, the Chief Executive Officer of Imagine MKE, and Deanna Tillish, the President and CEO of UPAF, also known as the United Performing Arts Fund of Milwaukee. They spoke with Lake Effect's Julian Haida. Tonight, UPAF will be hosting a fundraiser event on Facebook Live, highlighting the work of local performing artists. It's at 7 o'clock, and you can find it if you search United Performing Arts Fund-UPAF on Facebook.